Thank you so much. It's been a great morning, and it's looking up. Dr. Domer returns. We had a wonderful visit in the not-too-distant past with Dr. Gregory Domer. Let me take just a moment. It is Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Domer, and our topic this half hour is breakthroughs in vascular disease care. But let me just take a moment to reacquaint you with Dr. Domer, who is a very talented vascular and endovascular surgeon. Dr. Domer is a vascular surgeon, and he is board certified in vascular surgery. After medical school, Dr. Domer completed his residency in surgery at St. Luke's Roosevelt Medical Center in New York. Dr. Domer completed a fellowship in vascular surgery at UMDNJ, Robert Wood Johnson University Medical School in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And he also completed an endovascular surgery fellowship at Union Memorial Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Domer's special interests include vascular and endovascular surgery, and that's going to come in handy this half hour, aortic disease, carotid disease, limb preservation interventions, and dialysis access. Dr. Domer has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed journals and medical textbooks and has participated in clinical research projects. Dr. Domer, welcome back, sir.
Yes, thank you. Good morning.
Good to be with you. Yeah, it is. It's a pleasure to have you back. A great topic, important topic, breakthroughs in vascular disease care. We'll start right up front. What is vascular disease?
Well, vascular disease, we have to sort of understand what the vascular system is. The vascular system is composed of arteries, veins, and lymphatics, and the arteries are the conduits that carry oxygen-rich blood from the heart all throughout the body, and then the veins are the conduits which bring that deoxygenated blood now back to the heart and lungs for reoxygenation, recirculation, and the process starts all over, and then the lymphatic system as well. So we have different disease processes depending on which component of the vascular system we're dealing with.
Dr. Domer, what are the most common types of vascular disease that you see in patients?
So the most common types that we treat are problems with the arteries, so atherosclerosis or hardening of the blood vessels. So plaque builds up in these arteries that lead, again, throughout the body. Most commonly, we see plaque build up in the vessels leading into the legs, which can cause symptoms of pain with ambulation. But we also see that same plaque build up in the carotid artery. So the two main arteries that supply blood to the brain, which if left untreated can result in stroke. And then we also see aneurysmal disease of those arteries. So that's dilatation or expansion of those arteries to the point where if they grow large enough, they can rupture. And the aorta is the main vessel we see aneurysmal disease, or the most important area where we see aneurysmal disease. And I describe that to most patients as being about the size of a garden hose. So it's a very large vessel from which all arteries of the body emanate from. And if that vessel were to enlarge, it carries such a high volume of blood that if it were to rupture, that most people don't survive that. So, and we'll talk a little bit, I guess, about screening and so forth. You know, how do you know if you have an aneurysm? Because you certainly don't want the first event to be the one event where you find out that you have one.
So important, and we will do that, sir. Dr. Domer continues on breakthroughs in vascular disease care as Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Gregory Domer, vascular and endovascular surgeon. To schedule an appointment, you can call, if you prefer to speak, to a live human, 609-621-2080, or on the web, you can schedule at demanddebora.org. Either way, whichever you're more comfortable with will work just fine. You'll see the hyperlink right on the front screen of demanddebora.org. Simple to see. It's, I think, a red block that will tell you schedule. What are the major risk factors for developing vascular disease, Dr. Domer?
So we have modifiable and then not modifiable risk factors. The non-modifiable, of course, are age. So people over the age of 65 are at increased risk for developing atherosclerosis or peripheral arterial occlusive disease, and genetic or family history. So those are things that we can't do anything about. But the strongest risk factor is smoking, which we can do something about. And so I oftentimes see patients where they'll tell me, I only smoke a few cigarettes a day. You know, I used to smoke a pack or two a day. But it's been shown that even 10 cigarettes a day can increase the risk of peripheral artery occlusive disease by 40%. So it's extremely important. That's number one in the stratosphere of importance of risk factors. Then the other risk factors are diabetes, hypertension. So hypertension, if the blood pressure is elevated over a prolonged period of time, it can damage the blood vessels, which then can build plaque and ultimately leading to significant blockages. Other risk factors are just hyperlipidemia or increased cholesterol levels, and people that aren't ambulatory or lead a sedentary lifestyle can also lead to some of these other risk factors, leading to worsening of or increased risk, I guess, of peripheral artery occlusive disease.
We are visiting with Dr. Gregory Domer, vascular and endovascular surgeon at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents typically, it's either the first or the second Thursday of every month. It floats, and that's, of course, based on very, very busy folks that, you know, are saving lives, like Dr. Domer. And we're talking this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center presents Dr. Gregory Domer, breakthroughs in vascular disease care. Dr. Domer, are there early signs or symptoms that people should be on the lookout for?
So the early signs, there certainly are early signs. I just have to say, though, the vast majority of people with peripheral artery disease are asymptomatic. And in fact, it's much more prevalent than most people realize. And even sometimes when we discuss these patients with our primary care physician colleagues, they don't realize how prevalent it actually is. There's estimated to be 200 million people that have peripheral artery disease, and that's worldwide. And then in this country, it's about 20 million people. About 2% of those people, so 400,000 of those people, then go on to progress to the severe form of peripheral artery occlusive disease that needs some kind of intervention. And so anybody that is symptomatic certainly needs to be evaluated by their primary care, and their primary care physician can then refer them to a vascular surgeon if he feels it's necessary. So people that we most commonly see complain of pain in a muscle group, either at their buttock, their thigh, or their calf, from blockages in the blood vessel. And that's a pain that comes on with ambulation and subsides with rest. So we often see people that have sciatic-type pain, which is a very different presentation, where it's a more of a shooting pain that radiates down the legs, and that's lumbar radiculopathy or compression on the nerve roots coming from the spine. But anybody that has pain, cramp-like pain that is relieved with rest, should definitely be evaluated. Other things that people definitely need to be aware of, and that is stroke signs. So there's an acronym that we post around the hospital here and we send out on some of our literature. It's BEFAST, so BEFAST, and the B just standing for balance. So if somebody were to suddenly lose their balance and can't regain their balance, that they should be evaluated. Then the E being for eyes. Somebody were to suddenly lose vision in one eye or the other, they need to be evaluated. And then F, being facial, so facial asymmetry. If you see drooping of a lip or an eye on one side of the face, that needs to be evaluated. Mm. And then A, being arms, it's really arms and legs. So someone that has unilateral or one side of their body where they have sudden weakness or even severe numbness. And then C, being circulatory issues that have gone unchecked. And then the last time, so time is of the essence. So people that have any of these symptoms need to be evaluated immediately because there is a time factor here. And the more urgently that they're evaluated, therapy can be provided. So those are the main things. And then we also see a lot of patients with venous insufficiency. So that's in the news a lot these days because of President Trump having chronic venous insufficiency, which rarely becomes a severe condition needing intervention, but can. But most importantly, it needs to be just addressed for conservative management to prevent it from becoming severe. And those are people that have significant swelling of their arms, legs, toes, or bluish discoloration sometimes. In the more severe form, people that have wounds that don't heal. And that can also be arterial occlusive disease. And many times patients will have a combination of mixed etiology, both arterial and venous insufficiency, that needs to be treated to allow these wounds to then heal.
So important. Dr. Domer, you mentioned earlier about being asymptomatic. So if you're not feeling any different, I mean, you almost have to win the lottery or something to for someone to tell you, hey, there is an issue here, you just don't know it. How is vascular disease diagnosed, and what kinds of tests are typically involved?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And it can be very easily diagnosed with just physical examination, number one, just feeling for pulses throughout the body. If there seems to be a discrepancy, then somebody can get what's called an ABI, or an ankle brachial index. And simply, that's just a blood pressure measurement at the arm where everybody gets their blood pressure monitored. And then it's checked with a blood pressure at the ankle. And then that ratio, if it's abnormal, anything less than 0.9 is indicative of peripheral artery disease. And oftentimes, again, the vast majority of people, 95% or more, don't need any kind of intervention, but they need to be on the appropriate medical therapy and have control of their modifiable risk factors. And this can be done through your primary care, or there are oftentimes many screening programs that are put on by different health institutions around the area and around the country. And DeBora does one, I think, in about 2 weeks. There's a PAD screening event going on where we measure people's blood pressure, their ABI. We do an ultrasound to check for carotid disease in appropriately selected patients, and also aneurysmal disease. Because, again, aneurysm is something that you would never know you have unless they've been screened. And there are specific criteria on who should be screened and who shouldn't be screened. And your primary care physician can help you with that. Or there's also more information on the DeBora website.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that a little bit further right after the break with Dr. Domer about September 20th. And, again, complete information, as Dr. Domer just shared, is on the DeBora website, demanddebora.org. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about peripheral artery disease, and a lot of folks listening know it better by the acronym PAD, and how does it differ from other vascular conditions. And we are going to promote, because it's a very important fair that will be taking place, we're going to mention further the PAD fair that's taking place on September 20th at DeBora. It's the only break that we take, and it's a short break, just a little bit more than 2 minutes away from continuing this important topic, breakthroughs in vascular disease care, as DeBora Heart and Lung Center presents vascular and endovascular surgeon, the great Dr. Gregory Domer, visiting on the Hurley in the Morning program on DeBora Heart and Lung Center Presents. Welcome back. It's 22 minutes past the hour. DeBora Heart and Lung Center presenting Dr. Gregory Domer, vascular and endovascular surgeon. The topic this half hour is breakthroughs in vascular disease care. Dr. Domer, you did a great preview of peripheral artery disease, PAD. How does it differ from other vascular conditions? And just a quick reminder, and anything that you would want to add to this, the time is yours, of course, but on September 20th, and September 20th, obviously right around the corner, it's a Saturday, there is a PAD fair at DeBora Heart and Lung Center. Complete information on the DeBora website at demanddebora.org. How does PAD differ from other vascular conditions?
So again, when we're talking about the vascular system, we're talking about the arteries, veins, and lymphatics. And the arteries are certainly the most complex and most significant of the circulatory, the vascular system. And oftentimes people will come in, they may complain of some numbness or tingling in their feet, and it's neuropathy and not peripheral arterial occlusive disease. But the important piece there is that needs to be thoroughly evaluated and to make sure that the patient doesn't have peripheral artery occlusive disease or PAD. And that can be done just by physical examination and then some of these screening tests that we mentioned, the ABI or the ankle brachial index. And it's extremely important that people do have the screening because, again, the vast majority of people are going to be asymptomatic. And with the appropriate medications and the appropriate lifestyle limiting factors, or socially modifiable factors, namely smoking, they can dramatically decrease their risk of forming severe peripheral artery disease. And I would just like to add there, because I always tell my patients, because most people aren't aware of the severity of peripheral artery disease and what can happen if it goes untreated and the modifiable risk factors are not addressed aggressively. So in symptomatic PAD, up to 80% of people can have some form of severe hospitalizable event. And in fact, somebody with symptomatic PAD, the mortality can be as high as 50% at 2 to 3 years. So people that do control their risk factors can definitely extend their life, and not only extend their life, but improve the quality of their lives. So they'll be able to walk further. They'll have less pain. And, you know, you modify all those risk factors, it'll have pleomorphic effects, or it'll have overall positive effects on their overall well-being. They'll sleep better. They'll just feel better and generally just be in better health. So it is important to undergo the screening, talk to your PCPs, your primary care physicians, about peripheral artery disease, and attend one of these screening events. Again, we're having one. Debora is putting one on September 20th, but multiple institutions will put on screenings. And again, there are patients that should be screened. It's covered by insurance if they meet the appropriate criteria, and that, again, can be seen on our website or you can discuss with your primary care physicians.
Dr. Domer, if someone listening right now, if they do their part, they do the right things, you know, listen to their healthcare provider. You mentioned that you can extend your life. Can you extend your life to a normal life expectancy?
So that's where we get into the non-modifiable risk factors, namely age and genetic factors or family history. So you can never get away from it completely, right? We all succumb to something, and the most common is cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular disease and peripheral artery disease go really hand in hand, and there's a very strong correlation going either way. So if you have PAD, there's a very good chance you'll also have coronary artery disease. And that's one of the reasons, in fact, to be checked for PAD, because it can then give you some idea whether you're at significant risk for also having coronary artery disease. So when I say the mortality is increased with people with PAD, they're not necessarily dying because they have pain in their leg when they walk, or they have claudication, or they have a non-healing wound, but it's because there's that strong correlation with PAD and coronary artery disease. So if you have significant or symptomatic PAD, there's a good chance, in fact, your risk of heart attack goes up by at least 2.5 times, even if you have asymptomatic PAD.
Wow.
And those things can be treated with, again, modifiable risk factors, being on the appropriate medications.
Breakthroughs in vascular disease care with Dr. Gregory Domer on Debora Heart and Lung Center presents. You put on a masterclass in the last segment about vascular disease and early signs and symptoms, things like that. What are the most common symptoms of PAD?
So So the most common symptoms would, again, be the claudication, so the pain when you walk that goes away with rest, and it's usually confined to one muscle group, being the most commonly we see it in the calf, but it can occur in the thigh or the buttock. Even people can have upper extremity, although that's, I would say, rare, certainly very uncommon. But people that have cramping-type pain in their upper extremities can also have occlusive disease in their upper extremities, or they can have something called thoracic outlet syndrome, which probably is on the minds of many people in the Philadelphia area that Zach Wheeler has. He has a venous form of thoracic outlet syndrome, but it can also affect the arteries and it can affect the nerves coming from the spine out to the arms. So PAD can present in many different forms, but most commonly we see patients with claudication. But it's also extremely important to be aware of the signs and symptoms of stroke, so that can be addressed.
That was a great relatable example. To schedule an appointment at Deborah, 609-621-2080 by phone. That's 609-621-2080 or on the web at demanddeborah.org. Breakthroughs in vascular disease care continues with Dr. Domer. How can PAD affect a patient's quality of life? Let me further add to that, what can be done to help patients stay active and stay mobile?
So, again, with control of the modifiable risk factors, people will just generally feel better. Patients that do present with claudication, we first put them into an exercise regimen. And some of these are covered by insurance where you can go to a physical therapy institution. It's usually a 6 to 8 week program where you show up 3 to 5 times a week. They walk you on a treadmill for about 30 minutes, or you can do it on your own. And that would simply just be composed of walking 30 to 45 minutes at least 3 times, preferably 5 times a week. And we see most people will get better. So they'll never go back to normal, but oftentimes we'll see them improve from, say, a block or two. We'll now be able to walk 6 blocks or a quarter of a mile. And so that's enough to walk their dog or walk with their significant other, which provides, in of itself, provides a lot of satisfaction. There's also a medication that's been around for about 40 years called Pletal or Celostazole, which in the appropriate patients, we'll try them on that. It doesn't work on everybody, so we don't give it to everybody, but certainly in the appropriately selected patients, we'll try them on that. And that can be a game changer, too, in that their claudication symptoms can go away. And so we don't get rid of the blockage. But not all blockages need to be treated. In fact, you know, as I said before, I spend about 80% of my time talking people out of a procedure because just a blockage in of itself is not necessarily an indication to do anything for, of course, depending on the location of the blockage. But a blockage in the leg that's just resulting in some claudication or pain with ambulation doesn't necessarily need to be treated and can be controlled with, again, modifiable risk factors and appropriate medication.
Dr. Domer, you mentioned smoking. Obviously, that's really important for folks not to do that and how that can be such a benefit. How does lifestyle change manage, and can it even prevent vascular disease just by changing your lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. So people that, you know, are unable to walk through the store, if they quit smoking and they start on an exercise program, they're on an antiplatelet, which is just 81 milligrams of aspirin. They're on a statin, so something to lower their cholesterol. If they're hypertensive, their blood pressure is controlled. We'll often see those people back in 3 months, and they're now able to walk through the store without any discomfort or walk their dog without any discomfort. So it definitely improves the quality of life. It never, again, gets rid of the vascular disease, but it can prevent it from becoming disabling.
Dr. Domer, you mentioned two medications, but in a broader question, what treatment options are available from medication to procedures?
So the medications, the standard is everybody that has peripheral artery occlusive disease, and this is most important for the people that are asymptomatic to prevent it from becoming symptomatic. And that's just antiplatelet therapy, statin therapy. If hypertension is an issue, to control the hypertension with medication. Diabetes is a big one, to control the diabetes if diabetes is a factor. And then just ambulating every day and staying active. Those are extremely important. And if you see a vascular specialist or sometimes your primary care physician, may start you on the medication called Pletol or Celostazol that can help with what it does is it just helps to dilate the blood vessels. So we have the primary blood vessels, but we also have secondary blood vessels that will help bring the blood around those blockages that will then get rid of many patients' claudicating symptoms and essentially allow them to live a normal life.
Two-minute drill with Dr. Domer on breakthroughs in vascular disease care. So let's make sure we touch on this one, Dr. Domer. What new advancements in vascular care are helping improve outcomes for patients today?
So vascular surgery is one of the most dynamic areas in medicine, and that's why I think a lot of us go into it, because there's constant evolution of techniques and technology that allow us to treat our patients. So when I first did my training, 25 years ago, most patients were undergoing bypass surgery where they'd be in the hospital for several days out to a week, where now it's typically a percutaneous procedure, so a needle stick in the groin, and we open those vessels with balloons and stents, and they go home the same day. Aneurysmal disease also was a major operation where patients were in the ICU for 2 days, in the hospital maybe for 5 to 6 days, with a recovery of 6 weeks to 3 months. Now we're able to do it with less than an inch incision in each groin, and they go home the following day in most cases.
Wow. Amazing.
So there's a lot of advancement. There's now the technology is allowing us to treat more complex aneurysms, where 20 years ago it was just the sort of run-of-the-mill straightforward aneurysms. But now there's technology coming about that is available already that we can treat even the more complex aneurysms.
Final minute. Is there anything, this is futuristic, but is there anything on the horizon in vascular care, something that you see coming but might not quite be here yet?
I think the biggest advancement is we see a lot of patients with limb swelling, so chronic venous insufficiency, which again is rarely ever a severe problem, but it does create a lot of mobility issues and just discomfort. And so there's been a lot of research on developing a valve. Our veins have valves in them, but developing a valve that will prevent the swelling from occurring. There was one that almost came to market, but it didn't end up getting approved by the FDA. But it's just a matter of time, I think, as more research is done and the technology becomes better. There will eventually be, it's called a veno valve, that can be inserted, again, percutaneously, and that will treat millions, tens of millions of patients. And then there's a lot of stuff that's way out there, so 3D printing. So right now we have to wait for a graft to come from the manufacturer sometimes. Well, that won't be in the too distant future, where we can just plug in the measurements of the patient's aorta and have a 3D printed graft made for us.
Wow. Unbelievable game changer. That does it for Breakthroughs in Vascular Disease Care with Dr. Domer for today. To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, simple to do. You can call 609-621-2080 or go on their website at demanddeborah.org. A reminder, and you should take full advantage of this because it could be life-changing in your particular situation. The PAD Fair that's taking place on Saturday, September 20th. Complete information on the Deborah website. Again, demanddeborah.org. Dr. Domer, I always enjoy our time together. Thanks for a great presentation today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Good to be with you.